This is episode 556 on the Hidden Why podcast with Doug Hench. Welcome to the Hidden Why's 30-minute power segment. I am passionate about creating a lifestyle that minimizes suffering and regret. The purpose of life is not simply to survive, but to thrive, and I believe we do that by creating a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Each week, I will be delivering a 30-minute conversation with a guest expert on a topic that they are knowledgeable and passionate about, with the purpose to inspire and educate us all. I don't have all the answers. I'm simply trying to figure life out. And through greater awareness and understanding, I can put into practice what I learn to further my life's progression. I can't give you your life's map. I can't show you the way, but I can assist you in discovering your why. I can help you define your life's compass to guide you purposefully to act on and pursue your life's desires. And from there, watch happiness ensue. My guests are the experts. They are the people I learn from. They provide the inspiration, education, and methodology that we can all benefit from in better navigating the ultimate life. Without further ado, let the show begin. Today's featured guest is Doug Hench. The topic is and. Doug Hench brings a wealth of experience and passion to the work he provides for his clients. His philosophy is simple: set meaningful goals, identify your strengths, and work in them regularly. This philosophy helped him launch a leading self-improvement website, helping thousands of people increase their well-being and resilience. He is the expert in coaching, facilitation, instructional design, and consulting. As an executive coach, Doug relies on his curiosity, experience, and in-depth knowledge of human potential to help individuals set and exceed their goals. He is the author of Positively Resilient, and this is his topic, and. The topic today, Doug, is and.
Yes, and I love how you just stopped with that because it's one word, it's three letters, but I think it's a pretty big concept, and I'm excited to talk to you about it today.
Cool, I am too. I think you have to stop with it. I was doing a pre-recording to introduce you and your bio, and it's a hard topic to introduce because it's going to confuse a lot of people, so you have to give a little bit of a pause and then really emphasize the and part, and that is the topic today, so it's an exciting topic, and I know we've discussed this perhaps not to the depth we might be discussing it today, but we have discussed it in the past as you were a featured guest a while back now on the Hidden Why podcast. So it's round two, so thanks for coming back on. And let's define that word. What does it mean to you? What is the definition of and?
The definition of and is, I think it's a mindset and it's a tool for more effective critical thinking, decision-making, and relationships.
So a tool for critical thinking, decision-making, and relationships. Can you put it into context for each one of those?
Yeah. So for instance, when I wake up in the morning, as we talked about the last time I was with you, I start every morning with a little bit of meditation. And I think in an expansive way, how I'm connected to all things. And I start asking myself, where are the ands today? A-N-D, plural.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is find a way to help my clients build a better universe, build a better life for myself, for my kids. So it's first of all, it's a mindset. It's curiosity, mindfulness. It's just awareness of my own biases so I can be open-minded. The next element of it is, when it comes to things like decision-making, where we typically present either-or options. I can work here, I could work there, I could make this decision or that decision. To me, Lee, that's a signal or a warning that we're eliminating options that might be there. And I typically tell people when it comes to decision making and problem solving, start with and. I might ask my clients, where's the and in what you're presenting to me, in the situation that you're putting forth? And we always be able to do both, but there's really no harm in slowing down and trying to find it, right? The next element of it, I think, is when it comes to relationships, right? And this might be the most powerful. Where I'm sure you've had this with your guests before, and you know as a coach as well, Lee, that we just really avoid the phrase "yes, but," and we. When someone presents an idea and there's something good in it, we say yes and.
Yep.
where we're looking for mutual purpose. We're looking to be more additive and expansive as opposed to contracting and being a little bit more pessimistic and finding where both people can win. It's, you know, it's about collaboration, and at worst it's compromise, mm-hmm. I think. It's a small word, and I think that there's several different ways we can look at it and use it to our benefit.
So it's certainly one that you're passionate about, and I want to delve into a little bit more of the details and how we can use that, I suppose, so the audience can take something tangible away today. But what does it mean to you? Why has this word become so paramount in your life and in the work you do?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, before I forget, I really appreciate your having me on again. First time we spoke, it was fun, and I'm sure we're going to do the same thing this time. So I really appreciate being able to talk to your listeners and promote what you're doing, because, you know, it was several years ago where it all started for me with another coach that I was working with, and yep. we were talking about a project, and we were about to propose, I think, group coaching for somebody and for one client, and then the other client, we were going to do a leadership development program. And I would throw some ideas out there that were not the best, right? We all do it, and we were in a brainstorming mode. And my colleague, Brad, kept saying, yeah, and what if we did this, Doug? And what if we added this part to it? And I stopped him for a second. I said, Brad, you know, something doesn't feel right in this conversation. I'm waiting for you to say yes, but, and you keep saying yes, and. And then he explained it to me, how he was really interested in building on my ideas as opposed to, you know, what he calls the but eraser, right?
Yeah, like closing it down, sort of shutting it off.
Absolutely. So that's really where it started. Uh-huh. And then I found myself seeing it. And I think that's this is where you start, is with how it's a mindset. You know, I see it in almost all the work I do. I see it with my kids when they say, can we go here or go here? And one of my kids wants to do one thing on a Saturday and the other one wants to do the other. And we start with him. You say, how do we do both, guys? Or, you know, the other thing, Lee, is, you know, if you think back to the, you know, one of my top five books of all time is Getting to Yes. Yeah. And the idea is, how do we, you know, look at interests as opposed to positions? Hmm. You know, one of the core ideas. So
how do we look at interest?
Yes. Versus positions.
Okay. Can you explain that a bit?
Yeah. So if, you know, if one, you know, neighbor, let's just say even, you know, the examples in Getting to Yes are really good because, the gentleman who wrote the book, and his name's escaping me, unfortunately, he talks about how he helped, you know, negotiate some pretty big and difficult situations in the Middle East where you're talking about territory, right? And you're talking about arms deals and, you know, really life and death type situations. And what he would say is, you know, what is it that you want? And they might say, you know, we want this much money or we want this much territory. And that was a position. And the interests usually were deeper, and they were around things like safety. We want agreement that you're not going to allow criminals to come into our country, or you're going to beef up your border patrols to keep some of the bad guys out, things like that. Right. He brought the conversation to a different level.
Hmm. So really, we're really jumping into the interests rather than the positions.
Yeah, and it's positions, you know, so I had a feeling I was going to go here and I was going to try not to do it. But if you think about what's going on in the United States, right, when we're talking about things like taxes and job creation and Republicans versus Democrats, it's certainly not, you know, liberals and conservatives. It's liberals versus right now.
Right.
And if we could say we're trying to get to job creation and increase wages, and stop locking in to our positions and be ready to collaborate and have conversations, I think we can get ourselves out of this mess.
Right. Really good point. Yeah. And I think we can do that in our individual lives, can't we? Like, rather than locking ourselves into that position that we think we have to be in, we could look at the interests of ourselves, but all the other parties involved with whatever that might be as well.
Yeah, you know, and let's be honestly, it's easier to do it on an individual level, with a one-on-one conversation. We have a lot of forces against us right now. There is the fake news. There's the biased news. You know, looking at things like Fox News and MSNBC, who are not—they're not helping the situation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. They're taking positions, and if we can do a better job of just having conversations, and if you think about the work of Tali Sherrow, she just published a whole bunch of research, and her book is The Influential Mind. And one of the things that she talks about is one of the most uncomfortable situations for a human being is to be wrong, right? So this is why facts and data don't change people's minds. What she argues is that it's curiosity. So, you know, if you're sitting down with somebody who's ignoring the facts blatantly,
yeah,
just tell them you're not going to try to change your mind. Tell them that you just want to listen and understand, and let them do 95% of the talking.
Yeah.
And you might start to see the person move a little bit to be open to, hey, you know, I could be wrong. And I think that's where I start most of my days. Where can I be wrong?
Right, right. And I think that that whole "and," you know, using that word again, "and," really helps with that curiosity, doesn't it? It helps grow that curiosity.
I think so. I think, you know, the way to look at it is, you know, building on the work of Marty Seligman and Chris Peterson and others,
right.
Curiosity is it's a strength. It's a psychological strength. And what I tell a lot of my clients is, if you think about the evolution, at least of the educational system here in the United States, we crush curiosity at a very early age, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We have, you know, our kids are playing with Legos when they're little, and then all of a sudden they go to school and they're taking tests where there's one right answer and there's, you know, four options for them to pick from on multiple choice.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, as soon as you graduate from college, you are thrust into positions where there is tons of uncertainty and ambiguity, and anxiety rises. And the next thing you know, you're realizing that there's no perfect answer. And one of your best weapons against that is to remain curious and be open-minded. So I agree with you, which is why, you know, I just love even, you know, number one, the title of your podcast, The Hidden Why. But I love the tagline, you know, finding your passion and purpose. So you're like, you're bought in, you're helping promote this stuff.
Yeah, cool. Unintentionally, maybe. How I think it's really important for life, you know, just that ability to be able to, I mean, this term "and" that you're describing here, the reason, the benefits for using it and really trying to bring it into our mindset and our practice, there are numerous benefits. I mean, just from talking with you now, I can see that, yeah, making decision-making is obviously going to benefit if we have options. If, you know, just about thinking, how we think, our own awareness, you know, our ability to connect and build relationships, the value of choice that we can bring in with that term, obviously the increasing of curiosity. So there's a bunch of different benefits that can result from just that one word. It's a powerful little word. Somewhat like the word "why" in my eyes. So it's really beneficial, and beneficial for everyone. Is that right? Like, everyone can really take this term and use it to their benefit in their life.
I think so. I think it is, you know, let's talk about pessimism and optimism, for instance, because there's an "and" there where I believe, you know, when I do my resilience workshop and I talking on just about any subject, you know, optimism, pessimism kind of find their way into the conversation.
Yeah.
And we know that we can't be, there's a yin and a yang between the two. It's a polarity, I think, to be managed, where we stay a little bit more towards the optimism and the pessimism.
Yeah.
But, you know, for instance, if you're a project manager and you're overly optimistic, that's not a project I want to work on, Lee, because that tells me if you're overly optimistic, you're probably not aware of the risks and the issues that the team is going to face. You know, the bigger the project, the more risk there's going to be too. So that's a place where, you know, I think it would be, you know, it's important to understand that there's a polarity here and we manage these two as opposed to just saying one is best all the time. And the other part of this is there's a reflection or a shadow side of "and," and I think we can have too much of it. And I'm not sure, I'm not the most worldly person, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I haven't done a ton of international travel, waiting for the kids to move on so I can, you know, move up and onward and everything.
Fair enough.
But I can tell you that in the U.S. we do have a problem with, I think, a little bit too much and, particularly the area where I live, which is Northern Virginia. Highly educated, high incomes, close to the, you know, one of the centers in the world, right, in Washington, D.C., a lot of high-tech companies, a lot of good stuff going on from that perspective.
Yeah.
But what you get is parents that are overly focused on things like achievement, right? So you have families who are have two or three kids, and each kid is on maybe two travel basketball teams. Someone else is also doing debate and then taking an SAT prep course, right? So, you know, family dinners gone, downtime and boredom don't exist anymore. And what we have is, this is where I call it like the, you know, too much and, where we keep saying I can do this and I can do this. And I would say that we've got there's almost a new emotion, in a sense. It's called overwhelmed. Where there's just so much data coming in, right? How many of us pick up our phones every morning as soon as we wake up just to see the latest Google feed or the latest text messages or alerts, and then we are overwhelmed with information. I can't imagine that people who are living in log cabins 150 years ago were bombarded with just information and data the way that we are, and I'm not sure our brains have evolved to catch up yet.
No, absolutely not. I wonder just on that, and I'm just reflecting on it as you speak, but the too much and in the case of the activities, the actions that we do might be the problem. But the reason why that might be a problem is because there wasn't enough and in our thought before we set out into the action.
Tell me more. That sounds interesting.
Well, I was just reflecting on what you're saying there. And I think, you know, if we can have the openness and awareness of the options that we have, then it's all about really making a more purposeful decision, not about making multiple decisions and being overwhelmed. It's really about looking at the options and saying, well, I could do this and this, or perhaps I could do this and that's more purposeful and I can not do that. And that can then avoid us from going into that catastrophe of overwhelm, which has us, you know, just really disconnecting from everything and being ineffective in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great way to look at things. And, you know, what I would ask some of my clients sometimes is, you know, you can use this question for yourself, or you can use this question when you're negotiating with somebody else and trying to come to some type of agreement. Mm. Why do you want what you want? And you know, you've heard it before, too. You can even use this in conjunction with the five whys. Well, why do I want that? And why do I want that? Right? And why do I need that? And you start to get to the core of the matter. So, for instance, let's take the example of the parent who's taking on activity. Well, why do you want your son to be on three different basketball teams? Well, I want him to become a better basketball player. Well, why do you want that? Well, I want him to be able to make the high school team. Well, why do you want that? Well, I want him to be able to play in college. Like, and you start to ask yourself, are these things really important for happiness and fulfillment and purpose in life? Because particularly, and I am using sports because that's just something that comes up in my own life a lot, but I think it's probably, you know, something that's not uncommon elsewhere.
Yeah.
Is that we, you know, we use sports as, you know, this great measuring stick for how well somebody's doing. And, you know, the percentage of people that go on to play sports and that it leads to a fulfilling life, I think is very, very small. So putting all, you know, you're putting all your eggs in one basket with things like that.
So how can we avoid, maybe in your experience, how can we be aware so we can avoid over-anding, if that makes sense? You know, really going too far with it.
Yeah, going too far, that's a really good question, Lee. And what I would say is, you know, the first thing is, you know, be curious about what your purpose is, right? And I know you've had people on your show and you've blogged about this and posted about it, that, you know, finding out what that purpose is. And make that a journey. Don't stress over it. Find out what, you know, and by the way, it can change. I believe it can change.
Absolutely.
You can find something new that gets you going. And then on, and then, you know, much like working with an organization that's trying to find its way, I would say to spend some time and think about what your core values are, right? You know, what's number one for you? And, you know, there's things like parenting. There's your romantic relationships. And I see those as two different things, to be honest with you. I mean, they're obviously similar in crossover, but, you know, how important is work? Where does, you know, your physical health fall into place? Where's your spirituality? What about your mind and your ability to learn and be higher educated and increase your wisdom? You know, and, you know, you're usually going to find, again, just Google that common list of values, right? You get 8-10 things. And then the next thing to really answer your question, because I don't think that there's snap answers to these, Lee,
yeah,
is prioritize those. Sit down once a month and ask yourself, okay, what's number one right now for me? Because the other thing is context matters, right? Mm-hmm. Things change. You get new jobs. You're in new relationships. And babies come along, right? New projects at work. And I would look at these. And then step number two, in terms of prioritizing, make sure you don't have, you know, two number ones. That's just not going to work. But step number two ends up being, well, how satisfied am I with these? And if you're number one priority, let's just say for me, it's parenting. It's being a dad to my two boys. If that is number one and I'm, you know, in terms of my satisfaction, it's low, that's when I get a chance to pause. And I think, you know, I often think about the phrase slow down to speed up, because so often when people are upset and things are not going well, and we all get into that rut, right? We're for a week or two, we're not depressed, but I don't have the energy. I'm just, yeah, my creativity's not there. I pause and I do my values exercise, and it usually clarifies that, you know, life is just going so fast that I'm not serving some of my top values. And you know, in fact, this just happened to me recently. I had so much work. You know, as an independent consultant, I was doing so many workshops and so much coaching and a little more travel than I normally do. And what I was missing out on were my morning walks, where I get a good 45 minutes to an hour, listen to podcasts, and I learn. And just learning to me is just so much more important than I really ever gave it credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I put more energy into it.
Yeah, so good points there, looking at your values, certainly. You know, I wonder then too, if when you do feel satisfied with whatever aspect of your life, you know, it might be the day, life just might be going good for you and you're satisfied. Does the end maybe not need to come into play as much as perhaps when you've got a little bit of uncertainty in your life, some aversion, some challenge, something like that, where you can really use and to really make that assessment, make that greater awareness, make more critical thinking about your choices, etc. Would that seem true in your experience with, you know, coaching people?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. You know, and this is where, you know, I think coaching can be so valuable, right? And it doesn't have to be a professional coach like you and I. It could be just somebody who has some good coaching skills. Is, you know, what we often need, and what our clients, I think, benefit the most from us, is just an objective opinion with somebody who's not knee deep in the emotions, right?
Yeah.
And I think, and look, we don't have 24-hour coaches, nor do I think we want them, right? And can help us create some objectivity by, if we're constantly asking, not looking at right now, what is it that I'm not seeing? What's another perspective that I can take right now? How might somebody else look at this that would help me think more clearly about this right now? And, you know, when it comes to things like uncertainty and anxiety, that's where, you know, let's just circle back to why and curiosity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because curiosity, I think, is the perfect antidote to much of the anxiety that we deal with. Let's live with some uncertainty and some uncertainty. Imagine a life where you knew everything that was going to happen and there was no anxiety whatsoever. That'd be a pretty boring existence, yeah, right?
Yeah, I just had a chat with a lady this morning about uncertainty, and I think that's where most of the joy in life is, actually, in uncertainty. And really finding the joy, peace, and calmness in all that uncertainty and transition while still moving forward and progressing. I think there's some power there. And certainly, you know, looking at a coach's sort of role, I mean, really it is about just helping individuals better reflect, better, you know, open their mind to awareness and seeing the options and the perspectives, the different views there, rather than just being, you know, locked into their own inner narration that might be very narrow-minded.
Right. You know, and I do believe that we're going to start with that uncertainty and that anxiety. And it's not that we can be joyful and super happy while we're going through it. It's painful. It is comfortably, you know, when you are comfortably uncomfortable, I think that that's a good sign that some growth is occurring. You're working some ideas, you know, like, and forgive me for this, you know, product plug, but tomorrow the Microsoft Surface Book 2 comes out, right? And if you even think about that product, and I'll be at the Tyson's Corner Microsoft store sometime in the afternoon picking up my, you know, my laptop, and it's a laptop and a tablet, right? And if you look at product development, a lot of times I think the best minds are thinking, and it's a laptop and a tablet with touchscreen and all these great features that happen without expansive or additive thinking. Now, you can bet your bottom dollar that when this idea was first proposed, you know, I wouldn't doubt it if the senior execs at Microsoft were like, look, it's going to cost too much to build this. There's already a million laptops out there. They've already got all their distribution and marketing set up. You know, we're starting from zero here. And they had to plug through a whole bunch of uncertainty and prove themselves. And now they've got, I think, easily one of the best machines on the market.
Right. I was unaware of it, but I'll have to check it out. Look, it's a really good word. I think there's a lot of power in it. Can you leave us with maybe three practical takeaways that we could just use in our daily life, as you might use them, to use this word to benefit?
Yeah, I think the first thing is when you wake up in the morning, you know, how can I find and? It's create the mindset, and I know that that's I strive in everything I do, Lee, and I'm so glad you asked for practical tips. This is one that's a little harder to implement, but it's just starting with the where is the and in this, being aware of either or, right? So if that's presented to you, hey, where is the and in this? Is there a possibility for me to get both? I think the second thing is really simple, but I think it's worth repeating, is for 1 week, avoid saying yes, but, or yeah, but. Try the yes and. Be additive with people that you disagree with, and do your best to see the good in what they're saying, and I think you'll find the relationship be a lot more effective. And then the last idea I would say is whenever you find yourself, whether you're a business leader, a parent, whatever it may be, and hey, we're not spending enough time together as a family, so we're going to go swing to one end, and then, you know, oh, the kids aren't getting enough activity, so we swing wildly to another. And in businesses, you see centralization versus decentralization. Stop for a second and say, how do we stop this kind of mad swing back and forth?
Yeah.
How can we manage this? Because both of these have really good elements to them. And I'd say that those are the three real big things. And of course, the foundation is, again, curiosity and mindfulness.
So it's really looking at, I mean, going back to that third point is the balance to the important aspects of our life, not just going for, you know, one. And I think that's what we do often is we just go, you know, my health is not good. I'm just going after the health, and then, you know, our career drops or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's how do I find, right? Because if all I did was work out all day, I wouldn't make any money. So when am I at my best? When are the times that I feel great about, you know, everything that's going on? And look, this is, I think, virtually impossible to find for a long time. We have moments, we have short periods, but how do I manage these two elements in my life as opposed to swing wildly between them or make an either or choice?
Yeah, good point. And just going back to that first point, how can I find and in the day? just to put that into context, I mean, perhaps today or maybe one of the recent days where you've woken up, what was that like for you? Like, what were you looking at?
Most recently for me, I think it was this concept of what am I going to do to get out of this little funk here? Because I know that this is just a moment in time. Things are not going great right now. And I started to look for the and what I found was I start to take my walks in at other times of the day. And, you know, I know it's not really obvious to some people, but sometimes we get so locked into our views that and allows us to break out of the little box that we've put ourselves into. And I find different, you know, for instance, exercise doesn't have to be, you know, an hour pumping iron, killing myself. Maybe it is a 45-minute walk,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes the best.
Sometimes that's what your body needs, right?
So it's not just with the struggles that we're going through or the, you know, the challenges of the suffering, whatever it might be, it can be with anything, but kind of like, how can I find the end in the day? It doesn't have to be with the stuff that's, you know, bringing us down or whatever.
No, it can be that expansive. How can I, you know, things are going great. How do I build on this momentum? And just it, I think again, when it's a mindset, it's looking to build upon ideas and make things better as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Fantastic, mate. I think we've done it. How do you feel?
Awesome. I feel energized just talking to you. I appreciate your time.
Very cool. I've got some links, so I'll stick them in the show notes, guys, so check it all out at thehiddenwire.com. This is Doug Hench, and this is his topic, and so I appreciate your time today, Doug.
You bet, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys. Check it all out. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. Thank you for tuning in and listening to today's conversation. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to take something away, something to help you create a more meaningful life, a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Guys, if you love the content that I produce here at The Hidden Why, there are a few ways you can support me. Firstly, connect with me. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can connect with me online at thehiddenwhy.com or via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to connect with you. If you've got any thoughts, comments, feedback, suggestions, or anything at all that you'd like to ask me, you can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. While you're there, guys, make sure you subscribe to thehiddenwhy.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can be kept up to date with all the new episodes and happenings here at The Hidden Why. If you love what you heard in this episode, guys, or any of the others, please share the love. Share it with your family, friends, and anyone you think that might get some value. If you haven't already done so, you can also leave me a review on iTunes. Simply head over to iTunes, type in The Hidden Why, click the ratings and reviews button, and leave me a short message, plus a 1 to 5 star rating. It helps me reach more people. Once again, guys, I appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to support my show. Until next time, you know what to do. Breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why Podcast. My name is Lee Mundelsey. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.